He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
And I'm solo this morning with you, Jill, so we will go through a number of things that I failed to cover a couple of shows ago. And we'll start out with the Wrangler test drive that I took about 3 weeks ago now, because we've missed it for a couple of weeks. We ran out of time in one show, and I wasn't here last week. But I want to tell the listeners who are Wrangler fans, and I know there are a lot of Wrangler fans out there. The Wranglers are all over our Northwest Connecticut corner listening area roads. They're very popular. Chrysler Jeep has put in a lot of money in reformulating the Wrangler.
Do they still look like Wranglers?
Oh, absolutely. You'll recognize the Wrangler as long as they don't screw up the exterior design, which
could happen.
Could happen, but it didn't. Thank goodness. There are enough Wrangler people out there that hollered at any kind of design alterations to the exterior so that the new Wrangler looks just basically like the old Wrangler, except it's got a lot of aluminum in it to lighten it. They've stiffened the frame. They've changed the interior and upgraded it to the latest upgradable interior specifications that have affected all cars in the last 2 to 3 years with regards to touchscreens, electronic connectivity, Bluetooth connectivity, satellite connectivity, and the like. And the Wrangler is no exception. The Wrangler has done a couple of good things to their dashboard upgrades in that they've made the touchscreen basically waterproof because, as Wrangler owners could be prone to do with certainly the two-door models, if not the four-door models, which are bigger and not as off-road savvy or agile as the original two-door size ones are. They've made the touchscreen, as I said, waterproof, so that if you go through a river and things splash and you've taken the roof off and the windshield's down and the water comes over and gets into the interior, the touchscreen won't freak out and short out and be a multi-hundred dollar, if not a multi-thousand dollar replacement issue. So we'll see how that pans out in real life because, as we know, they put these advanced changes in vehicles through lots of rugged factory testing, which never equates to user testing when you get it out into the rough areas like the Rubicon Trail and fording rivers and that are 20 inches deep and all that kind of thing when you have to plow through at speeds at a certain speed in order to keep the water from actually going into the engine componentry. It's sort of like a buffer situation when you create a bow wave, as they call it, when you drive through water that's deep. And it doesn't matter whether you're in a Jeep or a Chevrolet sedan. But if you're in water like you see in the news programs about the flooding of streets and all that, and you see people going through streets with water going up, when you're in all-wheel drive vehicles or off-road vehicles or rugged vehicles, you need to go at a speed. Creeping through deep water is not as good as going through at, let's say, 5 miles an hour and creating a bow wave, which will push the water down a little bit in front of the vehicle that's going through the water and possibly avoid flooding out an engine. You're not going to drive Chevrolets and sedans through those waters, but some people do. You see them stranded on the news programs floating. When they've had floods, floating. Well, they float until they sink. But the long and the short of it is they've really done a great job on this Jeep Wrangler, which I test drove. I got about a 40-minute test ride from a Northwest Hills dealership, and Bill Rudin is a sales person there who's a Jeep expert. And he granted me a really nice long test drive. He sat with me, but he was just glowing with praise. And after I got through with it, I'm glowing with praise about it for Jeep Wrangler aficionados. An issue will be price because the price has gone up. The vehicle I drove, they've only had two or three weeks ago of the new 18s or the 19s or whatever they're calling the aluminum bodied one in stock, and the one that I was out in was a fully laden one. It had the double sunroof and the hard top, which the hard top comes off. It had all the componentry so that the sticker price on it was a little bit north of $50,000. And I'm not sure what the old model price was, but it probably was in the mid-40s for the equivalent vehicle. But the, what's happened besides the interior dashboard layout, the seats are wonderfully comfortable. They've put a new 8-speed transmission in, replacing the 6-speed the 6-speed transmission, the old automatics. It's shifted very smoothly, unlike the Cherokee debacle that happened when the Cherokee model came out with their 9-speed in the first year, which was 2014 for that revised model. And even in the early 15s, they had a lot of complaints on the Jeep lines, internet lines, about how this transmission shifted jerkily, the transmission gave out. I indeed had a transmission replacement on my 15 Cherokee within the first 1,800 miles because something was wrong internally with the transmission that came in my vehicle. Instead of going and complaining bitterly on the online chat lines about how awful it was, I simply just took it to the dealer. They were very good. They gave me a loaner. They ordered the new transmission. They put it in, and I haven't had a problem with the transmission since. And it shifts smoothly. Plus, there were software upgrades. Well, they've got it all ironed out, at least at the moment, on the new Jeep 8-speed, which will also be software upgradable if need be when the owners start really testing them in off-road situations.
Has the Wrangler now become their high-end car?
No. The Grand Cherokee is their high-end
car. So how much does the Grand Cherokee cost now?
Well, the base models are in the 30s, and you can drive them up to the 60s, and I think there's actually a $101,000 okay. Grand Cherokee, Grand Hawk or something like that that okay. they've tested that goes from 0 to 60 and 3.2 seconds. And has
but the
got
fact
a super,
is that's yeah. north of $60,000,
$70,000. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But that's, you know, you bring up the logical discussion about price. The car prices are all going up a little bit. I tell you, the average price of a sale is roughly around $34,000 and creeping northward from that. And that's covering all the car lines averaged. Apparently somebody's figured that out, that the average car sale is on an annual basis now is somewhere in the $34,000 to $35,000 range.
And does that include leasing?
That's not leasing because you don't actually pay for a car when you lease. You do put down a deposit of anywhere
but
from $2,000 to $6,000.
It's also 3 years. And I was just question was how much?
After which you have an option to buy it out at a depreciated 3-year-old price.
Finally, because that was something way back at the beginning of leasing they wouldn't let you do. Well, but my question is, now that the prices are north of, let's say the average is 34,
yeah.
let's just say, what is the average payment? Is it 6 years,
well,
72 months?
Well, it depends
months?
What the interest rate is. Well, that of course, here's how we've talked about this, and it's good to keep bringing it up, because the only way to keep your payments down is to extend the term of the financing and or the lease situation, because as the price goes up, you can divide by 36 the cost of your monthly financing payments, which on a $36,000 car would be $1,000 a month for 3 years to pay it off before interest was in it. Now, that halves to what, $500 a month if you go to 72 months, possibly, without interest.
That's
so you can see
years.
What's happened, and now we go, that's 6 years.
So you're gonna have
and
to
if
go,
you go to 8 years to get it down to $350 a month or something, you...
But you're doing this with people who just don't have any sense of how long 8 years...
That's right. You don't have any sense how long 8 years is until about the fifth or sixth year into the thing. You're lusting for this new car on the lot to replace, or you want to change your car because you're tired of your Toyota and you want a Chevy, or you're tired of the Chevy and you want a Ford. And... you've still got 3, 4, who knows how many years left on that extra long financing contract that you set up because you couldn't afford the payments any higher than what a 72-month, 84-month, soon-to-be 96-month contract might be. And it's frustrating because I basically, until I got out of all my car payments, and I haven't had one for 2 years now, every car I purchased was basically purchased no money down, 0% or 3% or as low financing as I could get, somewhere up at 6%. And I was paying car payments for roughly 40 years on one car or another. And every time I churned a car or got a new one, I you had to start out all over again. And it's so nice not paying any car payments. And everybody says, when am I buying another car? And I will go on this show here and be on record as saying, right now I have no intention of buying a car for
because
some time.
Because I have no car payments. It's a really great feeling.
It is a great feeling. I have enough other payments, yes. Cell phones and satellite yes. TV and everything else, which adds up to enough. To that point, the Wrangler, let's get back to the Wrangler. The suspension is very firm, but it's also very compliant. By compliant, I mean it's not jarring when it hits a bump. Yes, the Wrangler suspension is not going to be a comfort suspension no matter which model you get, whether you get the Trailhawk version, equivalent version to the Trailhawk of the Cherokee or the Trailhawk in the Renegade or the Trailhawk in the Grand Cherokee, which has got a stiffer suspension, a raised height suspension, or just the regular one. But I noticed I was able to take it on Route 8, so I got to test it at 75 miles an hour with the 8-speed transmission shifting, and it never got out of 7, except coming downhill on the southbound set of Route 8. And then I was able to take it on side roads, which are, let's get into roads. Are they deteriorating, town or state?
Deteriorated.
But that it was very good. They deteriorated dead already. But it does give you a very good way to test out a comfort level of a suspension of any vehicle you're driving besides the Jeep Wrangler. And Jeep Wranglers are not going to be the most comfortable car over the long haul, but they have very good seats in them, and the seats can go a long way to bringing some comfort level into your ride for an extended ride period of time. But I just want to say to anybody who's got a 3, 4, 5, or 7-year-old Wrangler, it'll be a eye-opener for you to go test drive the new one if you can possibly afford to trade up or get rid of your other one. And I actually ran into a real estate client this weekend who arrived at a listing of mine to see in a 4-door Wrangler hardtop with 2 big dogs in the back and his spouse. And of course, I had to discuss the Wrangler with him, and I said, how do you like your Wrangler? And he said, I absolutely love it. I'm coming to the end of a 3-year lease. And I said, well, you better go test drive the 18 because you're going to love that even more, except unless you don't want some of the technology. But you don't have to get all the technology. But I said, you're going to love it. And he was very interested in my review of the 18, which I gave him a 2-minute
And how did he
synopsis.
Feel? How did he feel about the real estate?
Actually, he liked the real estate. His wife didn't like it as much. Whether they buy it or not, I don't know.
Okay.
But the Wrangler was a very good topic of conversation. And he said, they keep hounding me to come in because my lease is up or overdue. And I said, well, go right ahead because you're going to love what you're going to find. And he absolutely loves his Wrangler. He says, I know I don't do what I can do in it, but I just love sitting up high. I love stoutness of it and the ruggedness of it. So, and that goes to say what a lot of Wrangler owners think about their vehicles. They feel somewhat invincible, as I do in my Cherokee, which is not a Wrangler, but it is also an excellent vehicle. I have taken it places which people don't believe that I can do in it because people don't know what they can do in their SUVs. They haven't a clue. I don't advise them to go test
it
listening to this show.
Let's change, the
as you see on the TV ads,
this is
a closed test course. Don't try this at home. But I have taken mine in places, and it is not the Trailhawk version, so it doesn't quite have the same ground clearance. It does not have the same transmission situation. But it'll do 90% of what I wanted of that kind of thing without trouble. And it is far more comfortable to ride in than the Wrangler is, even though the Wrangler is comfortable. And I say that relative to the fact that it's a Wrangler. It's certainly not a Lincoln Continental ride in a Wrangler, and my Cherokee's not a Lincoln Continental ride type ride either.
Right,
but it is more compliant than the Wrangler is, and very good on these roads. And let's go to these roads because, as we said minutes ago, they have deteriorated. They are just falling apart in this cold weather, warm up. The frost heaves, the potholes, the asphalt is just peeling apart in certain places.
Have you seen 684 recently?
I have not seen 684 recently, but I know what you're going to tell me. But I've we just have to look at 44 in places or 41 or
The point is, it's several states, and it's
well.
Wrong.
And let's go to the midst our esteemed president with his grandiose plan for turning all the infrastructure repairs over to the states, and he then in one side of his mouth he says, "We'll get a little political here." He says, "Our taxes are down for everybody," and then he's going to make the states pay, and the roads are going to be what? How are we going to raise the money if stateside to repair these roads?
Is it the state or is it private? I mean, you know, again,
well,
because
I don't know.
The fact is that they do need to be repaired.
They sure do.
This is not the northwest corner. This is not political. This is
no.
Oh yeah.
This
By
is not way, a political
there,
issue.
There are holes, big holes.
Yeah, and they've got to put hot patch in them or something, because you drive down the road, you better darn well keep your eyes focused on the road, because we'll get to alignment issues. The SUVs are very rugged systems, and you're not likely to need an alignment just because you hit a pothole full on in a Jeep Wrangler, or maybe most of the Jeep type vehicles.
What about a regular car?
A regular car is not going to have the same resistance, possibly, not probably, but possibly, as the true SUV Jeep type vehicles are, because they just don't have the same stiffness, structure, and ruggedness built in.
Aren't you apt to have mileage issues?
Mileage issues?
Well, if you are not in an SUV, aren't they traditionally somewhat lower mileage than regular?
The SUVs, like the Wrangler, is stated to get 20. The new Wrangler with the 8-speed is stated to get possibly as high as 24 miles per gallon highway and 16 off road. I reset the computer and did a mileage test on Route 8, and I actually was at 22, 23 for a while. And coming south, I got it to 24, and then I went on the side roads, and it dropped down to 18, 17.5.
But in your Sonata, which
in
I realized
30 miles I put on it.
Which I realize is a completely different car, but what do you traditionally get, 30,
Sonata,
40?
In the summertime when it's warm, and I'm getting 39 to 43 miles per gallon per tank full.
So that's 40 against 20, which is...
Well, that's the difference between sedans, and a lot of four-cylinder sedans will get 30-plus miles per gallon on the highway, and they'll get in the high 20s on the city-type driving situation, which are good. The hybrids, the Priuses, we'll get to the Prius. We want to get to the Prius before this show ends, because there's something on the Prius I want to bring up. Priuses were stated that as late as 2014 model years as getting 51 highway, 49 city. And those are gasoline hybrid, electric hybrid vehicles too. And they've been a wonderfully selling car, mostly because of that capability. Let's get to mileage, because mileage is a factor of a lot of road testing by the manufacturers, and they usually put tires on those cars that will allow those cars to get the mileage that they post on their sticker labels and the EPA thinks they're going to get. And the Jeep Cherokee is a good example. They came with Firestone Destination tires on it, and I think they're still, the Cherokees are coming with that. And it's a fairly mild all-season tread. By mild all-season tread, I say it's not too aggressive to be really good in deep snow and mud, but it's good enough to be better than just having to have dry or wet but pavement roads in the off-season, such as wintertime. But they also have low rolling resistance, and I'm able to get 30-plus miles per gallon on a trip on my Jeep Cherokee per tank full on a trip with relatively flat roads and relatively mostly highway-type cruising in the summertime with those Firestone tires. I recently had to replace them because the tread wore out, and I have put on a set of Michelin tires with much more aggressive off-season, that is winter season type of tread, but not a full off-road tread. And I am getting roughly in the wintertime, which means more idling and cold weather startup, so that mileage is affected already downward, but I'm getting between 23 and 25 miles per gallon per tank full with the Michelins on it during the winter driving. And it's maybe as high as 27 in a warmer day if I drive on a highway. But to that end, I attribute the decline in the mileage Two, the tread design of the tire doesn't have as low rolling resistance as the Firestone destinations.
Does the car feel better when you're driving on the Michelins?
Let me tell you, it does. Well, you're absolutely correct. You bring up a good point. Rubber compound, the way they design tires are a really important aspect of the ride of a car or a off-road vehicle. And it is surprising how different types of tires will be in giving you a comfort level. There's a noise level factor also. These Michelins appear to be quieter than the Firestones in the interior of the car at the same relative highway speeds, which we'll say is roughly 75 miles an hour on the Mass Pike type of driving. The Michelins are really comfortable, and I notice it. The Jeep Cherokee suspension is already comfortable for a SUV-type vehicle, more so than the Honda CR-V. I have not driven a RAV4 to be able to give you an equivalent conversation about that, or even a Ford SUV-type vehicle, but the Explorer, for example. But the tires go a long way to contributing to added comfort or less comfort, depending on what the tread is like and what the stiffness of the rubber compound that they use is. And so there are a lot of elements that go into that. But tires will affect mileage, whether you've got a hybrid car or a non-hybrid car.
Basically have to decide whether it's worth the mileage. Extra money, mileage, and comfort, depending.
Correct. There are lots that go into buying tires, and we don't have the time to discuss it in this show. But
we'll get Jay in here and have a tire tirade.
But I want to go to the Prius, because the Prius, you sent me something to read about the Prius. There's something looming in the Prius department about potential recall and a lot of apparently consumer complaints. Toyota apparently thought they were going to do something better because of a technical, mechanical, or electronic problem they had with some of their hybrid componentry, where the parts of it were overheating, and they thought they would replace a component in the car to solve the problem, and it has brought up more complaints and more problems than were there even before they decided to do something.
Plus, apparently affected the mileage.
One of the complaints is it's apparently affected the mileage by as much as 5 to 6 miles per gallon. Over what the rating of the cars were. And the question I have, because we've just talked about tires and other things, is it a like-kind vehicle, like-kind tires still on the car that got the new component, or did people change tires in the meantime and other things happening? But plus, the replaced component is apparently not fail-safe free, and is the problem that was existing before is still existing after.
And I think that the thing that I find most striking about it is, you know, I know that you have a lot of periodicals. I know that Jay reads them too. I haven't heard word one about this.
Well, I hadn't either. That came out of the Los Angeles Times. And I guess you said the date of the and the car model year that they're talking about is 2014, which is 4 years old. So the question is are they still having trouble with the 15, 16, 17s, and 18s and 19s to come? Or is this going to be limited to a certain older model year situation? But a class action suit is either in process or developing.
Or will be.
And it's going to get beyond L.A., I'm sure. And maybe the automotive periodicals will pick up on it and have their own contributory comments on it or not. We'll have to wait and see. But roughly 800,000 cars are in the loop right now, and Prius has sold a lot more than 800,000 Priuses, so this could potentially balloon. And, of course, Toyota, as all the manufacturers do, are claiming that that the fix is a fix. There's not a problem with mileage, and they're denying the culpability aspect of maybe the fix is really not a fix yet.
And probably
so it'll work its way through the courts.
I guess that has to be the public position, although practically speaking it doesn't necessarily. In our remaining minute, I just wanted to ask you, because with temperature swings like this, are there any car keys? Is there anything anyone should do? Like if it's
no, except
in the morning,
that I will 70? Say that if we get rid of the snow, you should go get the undercarriage of your car well washed. you should wash it between snowstorms and salt applications, because I ran into a state truck the other night waiting for the storm we just had 2 days ago to start, and they were sitting at Hotchkiss Corners, and I looked to see whether they had that liquid stuff in the back of the truck or whether they had something else, and it was full as could be of white salt. And I said, oh, my God, I was driving a washed car, and I knew that wasn't going to last. But that plus a road situation, try to avoid potholes, because you'll be paying for an alignment if you hit the pothole in the wrong way. And you can also dent wheels, and you can also break tire belts in the cars, which I've done in my Hyundai, and I've got to put new tires on the Hyundai because I have a bad belt in one of my tires. And that will be it for this show.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
Baby, you can drive my-